Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services. Today on Listening with KNN, I'm welcoming in a fellow female sports reporter who continues to make her mark in the sports world right here in the DMV. Yes, I'm talking about Miss Mikhail Ramos. Mikhail will join me right here on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. Yes, this show is dedicated to all the women in sports, to continue to inspire you, to continue chasing after your dreams, ladies. Yes. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag ListenInWithKMN. You know, as I kick off each and every single show, it's time for my Kelsey's Do Good Sports Organization of the Week. Now, today I'll be honoring the Houston Astros because, oh, what an unfortunate just end of the month we've had with the school shooting that recently happened. But the Houston Astros players, they actually wore shirts that said, "We play for Santa Fe," during the batting practice ahead of their game on Tuesday. Now, if you're not up to date with the school shooting, a teenager was accused of carrying out the mass shooting at Santa Fe High School on Friday. He was known as a quiet student who often wore a trench coat to school. I'm not going to say his name on this show because I'm tired of continuing to give these people who continue to do these horrific things any attention. I care more about the unfortunate victims. 10 people died, 13 others were wounded, and out of the 10 that died, it was 8 students and 2 teachers. So I think it means a lot for this community to see the team supporting them at such a difficult time. I salute and thank the Houston Astros because sometimes a simple thing like that can help to bring unity and people together, and that's what we need more of today. So, congrats again to the Houston Astros for earning honors this week as my Do Good Sports Organization of the Week, presented right here on Listening with KNN on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. It's now time for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with today's special guest.
Looking for winning sports picks and predictions? Since 1971, Doc Sports has been recognized as one of the most trusted names in the sports handicapping industry. For the listeners of this very show, Doc Sports is giving out $60 worth of their premium member picks for free. These are the exact same premium member picks that 1,000 of their current members pay for. And guess what? You get them for free. Just text the word radio to the number 29022. Text radio to the number 29022 for instant access. Doc Sports also provides free picks on every single game. You want NBA picks? Simply Google search Doc's NBA picks. NHL picks? Google search Doc's NHL picks. Need MLB picks? Google search Doc's MLB picks. Remember to text the word radio to the number 29022 and start winning today with Doc Sports Service.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It's now the time to welcome in the host of Rolling with Ramos, the woman herself, Miss Mikhail Ramos. Mikhail, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Anytime I have you in the building, it's always nice and a pleasure. A fellow woman just doing her thing in sports, killing it here in the DMV sports scene. So what's new with you?
Kelsey, you're too kind. you know, still pumping out that sports magic every time I can on Rolling with Ramos, where you can catch weekly on SoundCloud and on iTunes via The Working Class. Make sure you roll with the Ramos every week, along with my co-host Tristan Morris. He's the best. Being innovative, working at Fox 45 in the morning, working for 105.7. So we out here working like Jamaicans, but it's all for a good thing.
Hey, I mean, that's the only way to grind. And honestly, it makes it so much more worth it when you know you put that work in. So just, you're on the right track. And I'm truly, truly proud of you. And as she said, check her out. Her show is a blast and a lot of fun. So be sure to show her some love. Now, Mikhail, there's been so much happening. And I always like to kick off my show
with my Doing It Big in the DMV segment, and we have to talk about those Washington Wizards because as the NBA playoffs are going on, Mikal, they're not there once again. It is so disappointing.
You say Doing It Big, they doing it bad.
I know. I'm pretty much going to have to change the segment because of how they've been playing. It's re-freaking-diculous, Mikal. So the Wizards, I mean, it obviously the season didn't end the way that anyone here in D.C. wanted it to end. I mean, we have the Capitals going, I guess, for us, but the Wizards, oh my gosh, after their last game, after they got kicked out the playoffs, John Wall had basically mentioned that he wants management to make major changes, basically saying that they need an athletic big man and more depth. Well, that's not a science, right? I think anybody watching the game could see that. And then some people were really surprised that the Wizards secretly gave general manager Ernie Grunfeld a contract extension that we found out was months ago. So tell me, I mean, when you hear it first, let's start with John Wall. When he says he wants management to make major changes, right? And they want a big man and more depth. How can the Wizards make that happen realistically with their current salary cap that they have since they've been giving everyone these huge contracts?
You've given guys that don't deserve it nothing. Because let's be real, Otto Porter, at the time that he got his contract, he deserved it. But what did he disappeared? And he disappeared in the time that it mattered the most, and that was in the postseason. I was so disrespected watching Marcin Gortat because we all know that he's coming to the decline. I mean, that AARP card is getting a little bit bigger these days. I mean, the guy went up for a dunk, and after he dunked the ball, he started touching his back.
Yep, he was
like
done.
He hurt himself. He was done. That contract needs to be done and needs to get out of there. I would clean ship. Marquise Morris is not playing like his brother Marcus out there in Boston.
Nope.
After that ankle injury a year ago, he hasn't been able to come back and be the same. It took a toll on him. And him right there, he's like the Draymond Green of the Wizards. He's the X factor. He's the muscle. He's the get in your head brains that operate. He's the defensive prowess. And we've lost that totally when it comes to him. I hope his brother calls him up and tell him, look, man, do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. I've been waiting for them to trade places, Mikal. I've been waiting for them to trade places. I just wish they could do that.
I'm with you. I wish they could do like how Mary-Kate Nasty would do on there.
Yes.
Or in the movies and work this
Tamara.
Out. Exactly. I truly believe if they keep anybody, the only person that's worthy of keeping is Kelly Oubre. And I think Kelly Oubre is worthy of keeping because they have not figured out how to use him. Because using him off the bench or putting him in the starting lineup, he is a talent in this league and you have to use it. My jury's not out on Scott Brooks. I think he's an excellent coach. I mean, let's be real. Last year, we were talking about how John Wall and Bradley Beal hated each other. But look what he's done with them. Let's be real. If we wouldn't even know who Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were together if it weren't for him. But at the same time, what Scott Brooks has done has badly only been able to manage making sure he can take care of a double tandem. He's only good for making sure that the two all-stars are good on his team. He has not been able to manage the rest of the team, which means that the Wizards don't have a complete team. He has to coach everyone, and he has not been able to do that and do that accurately. The only way that you can win is to create a backcourt when it's obvious that if John Wall and Bradley Beal can't exalt that much energy, it's too much.
And, you know, Mikal, you touched on so many great points. Especially, let's start with Gortat, right? The Polish hammer. He's not playing like it at all. I mean, honestly, he said he's going to retire soon. I want him to do it now. Please help us, save us from this misery that's happening right now. I mean, it's bad. Like, everyone knows they can drive in on him, so that's not doing anything for the Washington Wizards. I love the praise you gave Kelly Oubre. He's one of the few players I can say gives his all each and every time. He touches the court on both sides of the ball. He's exciting to watch. He's very young. And promising. I mean, it's been fun to watch him grow. But as you said, Marquise, I don't know what he's doing. It's like he's just out there taking up space. And he just can't contribute. And it's horrible because John Wall and Bradley Beal cannot do it all. And he's not that option that they needed. And you said that Otto Porter was playing good basketball. That's why they gave him that money. And he's a Georgetown grad. So I have to give him some extra support. But what happened to Otto? I mean, I'm still looking for Otto. And as you said, he disappeared. All that money, that contract extension, over $100 million, and we can't find you in the postseason. that means I have to write you off. So the Wizards are going to have to make some changes. I do like Scott Brooks as a coach, but honestly, Mikal, I think I'm tired of this experiment, and I think they need better leadership. All the drama that went on still with Brad and Wall and the team saying whatever, they're playing better team basketball without John Wall. I just think something needs to happen. The Wizards right now do not look functional together. Everybody else is seeing it, even outside of the D.C. media. So they need to shake things up, because if you keep things the same, I think you get the same results. And then Ernie Grunfeld, he better do something special with this NBA draft coming up or something. Because, I mean, I just think at this point, even a trade, I don't know who wants the Wizards players right now to make a trade. So I think the Wizards are seriously in trouble. Now let's go to Ernie Grunfeld, Mikal. Was that the right decision to keep Ernie on?
In Ernie Grunfeld, we do not trust. The only time I trusted him is when he brought Paul Pierce together. You know, this is what the, the Wizards, John Wall is in his late 20s. Bradley Beal is in their late 20s. When Paul Pierce was a Washington Wizard, it was a veteran that came in, that's been there before, that understands what it takes to win, that can stabilize the guys. He almost hit the same game-winning shot two times.
And they said his foot was on that line. I'm still debating it.
I would like to see them go and try to get a veteran that is still in his prime. Maybe a veteran that's not in his prime as what he used to be, but can still manage in this league. A la a Vince Carter. A la a Zach Randolph before he went to Sacramento, and you saw what that happened. And that was very unfortunate. You need somebody that's going to stabilize these guys and get them to understand the bigger picture. Also, I do agree with the notion that this team, let's be real, when you talk about free agents and big-name free agents and stars legitimately in this league, I don't care how much John Wall gets on Twitter and tries to get Paul George, no star wants to come to D.C. And no star wants to come to D.C. because it is not alluring and it's too up and down. They are not consistent. 2 years ago, when they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, okay, maybe we could have had this conversation. However, then you don't make the playoffs 1 year, and then you turn around and then you make it again. It's not cohesive. And what you need is cohesiveness. It's very unfair.
Right.
Not to mention, they also go through this thing where they arguing all the time. I thought it was preposterous for them to even mention John Wall without him sitting in that locker room, and they talking about they don't need them. What you're doing is cute. This little thing called basketball, what you're doing without him, and more people are able to get the ball and blah, 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 blah. It's cute, but you are nothing without John Wall. Bradley Beal, you're all right, but you just had a complete season where you weren't injured. We actually saw you for more than 80-something games. I was so disappointed in them talking all that junk about him. Wait a minute, time out. John Wall. And Bradley Beal got a max contract before John Wall? I'm confused.
Right. And we were all asking questions, and this is why, Mikal, I have been questioning Ernie, and I want to take everybody back to the summer of 2016, right? If you remember the summer of 2016, beyond it being hot here, this is when people were started trying to yell out Kevin Durant or Al Horford coming here to D.C. But, nope, we didn't get them. Instead, we got Yamahimi, Jason Smith, and Andrew Nicholson. Think about
we got who?
That
the
I
equivalent of Jordan Clarkson and what's going on in LeBron in Cleveland right now.
And
see,
let's
be real.
The difference. I mean, the difference in Kevin Durant or Al Horford. Do you see who we got? And I mean, it's no question, Mikal, why what's happening is happening now. I mean, the Wizards need another star. It's quite point blank simple. John Wall cannot do it alone. He's not LeBron. He's not able to do it alone here in Washington. That's just why would you, if you're a big star, why would you want to come here? For what? An inconsistent team, everybody wants a ring. That's why Golden State can have this maximum superpower team, because pretty much they know there's a good chance they're going to get a ring. What's happening right now with the Wizards front office? There's no way, I don't think everybody had kept their job with what we see on the court. I mean, time and time again, you pretty much can predict where the Wizards are going to finish, and that is not good. John Wall is only getting older. He's only getting older. So the Washington Wizards need to figure it out.
And it's very inconclusive, Chelsea, as well. It's very inconclusive because guess what you're looking at? You're looking with the Wizards. Let's be real. You're talking about a team of, are you in or are you out? Are you elite or are you not? Are you a team that should be feared in the Eastern Conference? On paper, you should be. Are you a team that can keep up with LeBron and the boys? Which
Mm-hmm.
And during the regular season, you not punks to him. You do. Like,
mm-hmm.
we're waiting on you to say John Wall to Lonzo Ball, if that's what you say, have no mercy. You show no mercy. We're looking for mm-hmm. the Washington Wizards to actually put their money, not even put the money where the mouth is, put the ball where the mouth is, and actually do it.
Mm.
And they
right.
have not, and they have not been able to do this. There's no reason where the Washington Wizards in the Eastern Conference should not be in the conversation. We shouldn't even be talking about Toronto. I thought they were going to beat Toronto due to the fact that they already knew Toronto. I was looking for the upset in the first round before they even got to
mm-hmm.
because I knew Toronto
right.
would even, I knew Toronto wouldn't even muster.
Right.
But
as we saw, when they exited,
you can't win on the road.
Right.
Like, come on.
Right.
Champions are made on the road.
Very well said. Very well said. And let me ask you this next part, because this is what some people are saying the Wizards might have to do, Mikal, to make it work. And I want to know from you, do you ever think this would happen? Do you ever think the Wizards would trade their all-star in John Wall to try to get a mega team? Because obviously we've seen it with Kyrie, right, getting a chance to go to his own team. And we see what happened with the Celtics, though he's not playing right now. But do you ever see that in the Wizards' future? Do you just think John Wall will always be here and he is our franchise leader?
I think it comes to a situation where if he gets traded, he did not want to go. I think
okay.
when you talk about culture and D.C. and cultivating someone from the ground up in Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
the D.C. area, what he's done for the area, what he's represented, it doesn't get any better than John Wall. I know a lot of people, me growing up in the era, I would be personally hurt and distraught if John Wall
mm-hmm.
decided to leave. It would be a situation. It would be a situation where you remember how all these Philadelphia Eagles started getting traded. And then they would
mm-hmm.
come back to Philadelphia and get booed. And DeSean Jackson was like, I did not want to leave. They pushed
right.
me out. I think
right.
that would be the equivalent
right.
of John Wall. There would have to be some type of mayhem in that. It's already happening, Kelsey. It's the general manager and the boss on the court are not getting along.
Mm.
So it's
yep.
bound to happen. It's either going to be you or me.
And if
right. if the owner has anything to do with it, it's going to be me. But then we have a situation where they might think that John Wall is expendable. I mean, let's be real.
Mm.
He was hurt last year. You know,
mm-hmm.
all the controversy of what they were doing without him. More guys were getting touches. They could do it without him. And then
right.
he's a liability to get rid of because on the flip side of that, you still have Bradley Beal. Now, can Bradley Beal control a team on his own? Is Bradley Beal a guy you can build around, or is he just a number two that's pretty damn good? That's a lot of
right.
questions that you have to ask
right.
yourself.
Mm-hmm. And these are all great points because I think Bradley Beal, his entire career in Washington, has been saying, hey, I'm good too. I can't just live in John Wall's shadow. Now he got a better chance with John Wall being injured and finally got his all-star nod. But as you said, I mean, Bradley Beal, I think, has just not even – I wouldn't say he's a household name, but I think he's just gotten up there to get his name known in the national ranks. But, again, John Wall is your floor general and leader. And I say this to say, okay, yes. John Wall was brought in, and yes, we've all been behind him. But let's remember, Ernie Brumfield got brought in as general manager back in 2003. And just to put this in perspective, only three other top executives have held their position longer than Brumfield. We got the Celtics president, the Heat president, Pat Riley, and the Spurs general manager. So when you hear those teams I just said, and you hear the Wizards team, and Ernie Brumfield, I mean, he survived, remember, the whole Gilbert Arenas era and all the stuff that happened with that. I mean, and I don't think anybody can forget when he gave Andre Blatch that 5-year contract extension. And then Yamahimi gave him $64 million, Mikal. I mean, there's just so many questions. And Bradley Beal got that mega contract. And I'm not going to say Bradley Beal hasn't showed up because he has, but Bradley Beal is not enough. I mean, it's been proven he is not enough. And as you said, with John Wall, I mean, he has been injured. The injury bug has hit him. And his whole thing is his speed. And when his knees are messed up, I mean, that kind of hurts one of his best attributes. So I really think the Wizards really need to sit down and figure it out. Because I also make this point, Mikal. The team, their team this 2017-2018 season, their payroll was higher than that of the Houston Rockets. And the Houston Rockets had the best regular season record in the NBA. Just think about that. The Wizards had a bigger payroll than them. And guess where the Houston Rockets are right now? That should put a lot of different things into perspective. So, obviously, things aren't finishing right. The Wizards did finish 43-39. I mean, this season, it's just the same thing. And honestly, Mikal, I feel like if things stay as they are and we keep having a mediocre bench and no changes on with the starters, then it's going to be the same thing next year. And it kind of gets tiring year after year after year. But on a positive, Mikal, the Wizards did have draft workouts, and some people were pretty excited about this because they were making pretty much history with having the UMBC star that became a huge name during the 2018 NCAA tournament, Darius Lyles of UMBC. He got to work out for the Washington Wizards. Did you get a chance to watch him at all, Mikal, in the NCAA tournament?
A little bit. I did get a chance. I mean, who wasn't watching UMBC? Such a Cinderella story that's, mm-hmm. that stood the test of time, and so happy that they were able to get around and do some great things. But it's nice to see talent in the area, not just at the high school level, but in the collegiate level, being used to stay at home. Sometimes you go out so much, you forget that there's guys here that can do great things. And there's some great collegiate. University of Maryland, UMBC. We can even go down to the HBCUs, Cotton State, Morgan State.
Yeah.
It's time that we start paying attention to what's in the area first, then whenever.
Yep.
You know, when all these colleges recruit down. One thing about Florida, will recruit Floridians. As good as they are, talent just comes from down there. But it's nice to see him get a chance to work
local
out.
Local talent, I agree with that, Mikal, because especially I think the DMV is a basketball town. We have so many great basketball players. I call it a basketball town all the time. So as you said, it's nice to see that happening. So I definitely wish him the best. Now, Mikal, I want to stay on the topic of basketball. I have
yes,
my Kelsey's Across the Nation segment where we have to talk NBA playoffs. So, of course,
yes, we do.
News. The Celtics have a 3-2 series lead. Who saw that coming? And they are just one win away from their first trip to the NBA Finals, people, since 2010. Yes, think about what you were doing in 2010. The Celtics are feeling it. Jason Tatum is the name to remember. And this is a young team that is really kind of looking like the real deal against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, Tatum finished with a team-high 24 points on 7-15 shooting in over 40 minutes, helping the Celtics win 96-83 over King James and the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 5 on Wednesday. So, Mikal, watching this series, just give me your overall thoughts. Do you have the Celtics winning it all on the road next game?
I would love it because guess what? Home is where the heart is. We know that, Kelsey. But for the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's too much on their sleeves to do that.
Okay.
Let's be real.
You just think it's not happening.
Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, champions, right? Champions in their own right.
Right.
They're just as much as champions as LeBron James. You mean to tell me that the only time you know how to play basketball is in Cleveland? That is an issue. That is a total issue that gives LeBron making 30 points, 44 minutes, 8 assists, 10 block shots. I feel bad for LeBron, but I also don't feel bad for him because this is the culture that he created. Because, everybody talks about back in the day that nobody liked to play with Kobe. There's a reason nobody wanted to play with Kobe, because Kobe, first of all, would not be allowing these guys to sit on the bench and collect paychecks without contributing to some sort of a greatness. He would be cussing everybody out. I don't care how many shiny suits that you buy them so y'all can look like the Temptations and look like y'all are together. This is team basketball. You never count LeBron out. Obviously you don't. We all know what he did with Golden State by himself, but yet Kyrie Irving was there. His presence is being
right.
But the catalyst of this series will be who will be able to win on the road. Do you really want to go to a game 7 in Boston? I hope Boston doesn't even give them a chance to get there. I will tell you one thing. Boston, and this is my whole thing. This has been the whole mantra of the sports season for me, Kelsey. Let's be real. All these oldies but goodies in the NFL, Drew Brees went bye-bye. You saw Ben Roethlisberger out of the playoffs early. You saw Matt Ryan gone. You didn't know Marcus Mariota and the Titans could do what they did. Look at Jacksonville and Jacksonville. They would have kept their mouths shut and Blake Bortles would have threw that pass a little bit higher. You would have said goodbye to Tom Brady, too. And nobody even picked the Philadelphia Eagles to even be where they were, and they were the underdogs the entire time.
Yep.
Let's talk about a difference in the sports scene and the difference of the cultures changing. And tides change when Boston, a team that nobody saw this coming, they had 17 wins,
but they were also, I remember watching an ABC showcase, and uh-huh. it was Boston and Golden State. Nobody was talking about Cleveland in the finals. That was the finals preview.
Right.
And that and Kyrie Irving was still playing. I would like to see them do it because nobody expects them to be here, and every time you don't
right.
expect something from them, they give it to you. And Brad Stevens has philosophically tore down
mm-hmm.
the thought process of how to beat these LeBron and the Cavaliers. He's done an excellent job. On top of that, Kelsey, even if they don't get there, if you think
mm-hmm.
if you think you're lonely now, wait until tonight, girl, because guess what? When they get Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving back and they're doing this without them, oh, my gosh, Kelsey, watch out.
I know it. The Celtics are going to be so much fun to watch. And, Mikel, since you are over here on the East Coast with me, I know we have been waiting for someone to rise again in the East. Yes, I'm saying it right here. I am tired of seeing Golden State and the Cavs in the finals. I want competitive basketball back, and I think that's what we're getting. I think the Rockets are giving it to the Warriors, and I think we see the Celtics. And I, like you said, they're the underdog. Some people say they can't do it without Kyrie. Well, look at this, and they're such a young team. They are fun to watch, and they're showing that sometimes your youth can come in handy. I mean, literally, their defensive scheme that they had, LeBron James, I mean, it was too much, and he can't do it alone, and I think that's what we're seeing the Celtics doing, as you said. It's hard to go into the Greenland and try to get that win. Boston is just so good at home. And honestly, I mean, yes, I wouldn't say they had the best offensive performance their last game, but they did enough to get the win. And, I mean, like I said, you cannot say enough about Jason Tatum. He continues to break records. I mean, he's in the names with the greats. In the last game, he slipped past Magic Johnson and Wilt Chamberlain. Hear those names. To become only the sixth rookie in NBA history to score 300 postseason points. That just tells you something special about this young man. And then, of course, Al Horford is also adding. He had 15 points and 12 rebounds in their last one. But this Boston team is not one to, I think, you know, doubt. But as you say, I think if they can win this Game 6, do not push it to a Game 7 with LeBron James. Because, I mean, LeBron James has already been playing some special basketball. But when you put LeBron James in pressure situations, he's like a diamond sometimes. And he comes out rough and better. And that's why I say win on the road. But as we see, it's hard, again, to win in the land. I mean, last time we had Baker Mayfield in the building cheering on the Cleveland Cavaliers. But I think this is Boston's time to finally shut the Cavs down. But LeBron James does, in his own right, does deserve his fair share of praise. I mean, he's also been playing good basketball. But as you said, it's not enough. I mean, Love is, yes, he's playing okay, but he's not been enough. Kyle Korver, okay, but he, even some quarters, you don't even see him enter the game. So I think there's some questioning there. I mean, you have Tristan Thompson. I mean, it's just so much going on, Mikel, in Cleveland. So I think the Celtics will have this. But, I mean, is it just me, or if the Celtics somehow lose this, is it just going to be one of just like the worst, let's say one of the worst sports losses in history? Is it going to be that bad, Mikel, or do you just think it'll be underseen because LeBron James might just have that magic left in him?
I know one thing.
We don't want that.
Okay, fine. LeBron wins. LeBron becomes who he is and turns into Optimus Prime when his back is up against the wall. Okay, fine. But you can't be Optimus Prime by yourself with the Western Conference All-Stars over there ready in the bay. You cannot do that. There's too many weapons. There's too many people. There's too much unselfish basketball going on. And I am going to remind myself of the first finals when he was sitting on that scorer's table, a scorer's table which he never left, Kelsey. He couldn't even get water to go down his esophagus to enjoy it because he could not sit down.
Yep, he did it.
And
I mean,
that's the series you will have. This whole getting to the finals thing with LeBron, I mean, I'd rather get there than not get there at all. And seven times, you gotta give that man some credit, because there's a lot of people that don't do that. And he's taken some teams that arguably should not have been there. Without them, they wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I will say, we're talking about comparisons to Michael Jordan. I don't even understand how you compare Michael Jordan when you just skip over Kobe Bryant and then nobody even talks about his name.
But at the same time,
Kelsey, I'm with you. But we need to start discussing how much getting there is not enough. And if you're having a comparison, embodying the GOAT is embodying the soul. It's that innate nature to put everybody in a position, not just yourself, to have to exalt so much energy. We can talk about how Kobe had guys. We can talk about how Michael Jordan had people. But they challenged these guys
to step up and not just watch and look me like a deer in look at me like a deer in headlights. You want that Michael Jordan comparison? Well, guess what? He has 6 rings he's counting. Kobe has 5. You have 3. The accumulation has to start going and moving forward. And it's all a culture that's just been created to kind of sort of propel LeBron to the highest point, but also bring him down a lot against his own thing. And that's just the way it is.
Right. And as you said, though, he can't, as LeBron James, as great as he is, he also is getting older, right? The age bug hits all of us. It's something we can't avoid. The Celtics, I mean, he looked tired at some points in the last game. You could really look at him and just see the exhaustion. And as you said, I mean, he could be out in his prime, but he needs a team. The Celtics have 5 players score in double figures, right? So not one person just has to do it all. And again, this is a Celtics team everybody counted out after they said, oh, no, they can't do it without Kyrie. And then at the beginning of the season, oh, they can't do it without Gordon Hayward. And time again, they have proven themselves to be the best. And I said, when you're coached by Brad Stevens as well, that'll help a little bit because he is all in all a wonderful coach. But I'm like you, Mikel. I do want the underdog to win, but LeBron is just scary, man. He can do some crazy things. So I'm saying do not count them out. I do think, Mikel, that we are going to a Game 7 in the East. I truly do. I truly do. But I'm hoping that the young Celtics team can shut us all up and just win that Game 6 on the road, which would be something surprising for us all. Now, we have to go to the West, Mikel. We have to show them love. And I know we touched on them a little bit, but let's talk about this series between the Rockets and the Warriors. Is this everything you thought it would be and more, or are you kind of disappointed in what we're seeing?
I'm happy that Houston woke the hell up, and it took 41 points to do it.
Yeah, they needed a comeback.
How you even – I mean, they say there's no disparity in losing by 41 or 1. A loss is a loss. But after such a bloodbath, I don't even know what you say to yourself to come back. They ended up getting their revenge. Draymond Green got so up and close and personal with James Harden's beard that I'm glad he finally got an edge. You see Chris Paul. But is this enough?
Right. That's the question.
Because this was the blockbuster that you were looking for in the Western Conference. Everybody talking about Golden State, and they love them so much, but a lot of people waiting for them to get the hell out of the way, too. And can Houston really not be the Toronto Raptors of the Western Conference and shut everybody up and say, not only are we winning the regular season record and we're the kings of the Western Conference, not only am I MVP James Harden, but guess what? We're going to the finals. And we beat the best team to do it.
Right.
So the verdict's still out on that, Kelsey.
And that's the question, as you said. I mean, and I'm happy Houston came back because after that, you just thought Houston. Some people thought it was over for them, and then you
I would laid out crying.
See, and that's crazy, right? And then you had James Harden putting Draymond on a poster. I mean, when that happened, I was like, all right, we're in for some good basketball. And I think we've been waiting for this because, as you said, yes, the Golden State Warriors have been the golden children of the NBA, and they do have a superstar team. But James Harden, CP3, Trevor Ariza, who still has that special shot. They have a great team, but as you said, is it enough when you're playing a team with so many weapons? Not even just your starters, but even on that bench. I mean, and the one game, even Nick Young, we had Swaggy P getting confident. You don't want to let him get confident. That's how you know the Warriors have been something special. And then even with Steph Curry having a shooting slump starting off, they still had a strong enough team. And that guy from here, from the DMV area, yes, Kevin Durant, of course, helping to lead the charge, but I just don't think they have enough in them. I mean, the beard can play as great a basketball as he wants, Mikel, but the Golden State Warriors, and we say this probably every year now, but they are something special. And time again, they find a way to re-up and continue to propel themselves to getting that championship trophy, Mikel. So, I mean, how do you have it? Are we going to 7 games in the series?
It's very interesting now. You know, I think we should just shut up and watch.
All right, we'll shut up and watch. We can do that.
But I'm looking for the difference, but I'm expecting the normal. How about that one?
Okay.
How do you feel about this? Can I ask you a question?
Please do. Please do.
Okay, so I saw this Sports Illustrated cover. I don't know if you saw it. It was floating around on Instagram. It was an old Sports Illustrated cover that it was showing Michael Jordan, and he's dangling his basketball. He's a cartoon character. He's dangling his basketball, and it's showing Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Grant Hill. They're all jumping to try to get the basketball. And the caption was, are the Bulls hurting the league? Because at that point, you know, one man, one band, one sound was keeping some of the 50th greatest players from getting a ring. And it was more respected then.
Right.
Now, are the Golden State Warriors hurting the NBA?
That is such a good question. And, Mikel, is something I've talked about time and time again with numerous colleagues, and that's such a good question. I think anytime in sports you have a dynasty, right, we can look at the Patriots in the NFL. We can look at Serena Williams in tennis. And, of course, yes, we can look at the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. It's a two-part question in the fact that I say you can look at both sides of it, right? When you have a team constantly winning, their fan base is growing, Oracle Arena is continually selling out, and now they're getting this brand-new fancy stadium that they're going to play, brand-new fancy venue they're going to play in. And then you have these big-name players that get rings, and they're still able to sell crazy amounts of merchandise, right? And still, when they come on the road to play even, those games are sold out. But then at the same time, you look at the spectrum, and you're like, well, is there even a chance in competing when you pretty much know the Warriors are going to get the ring? But I will say this. We're looking at both sides of the spectrum. I do not think that they are bad for basketball, because at the end of the day, we can all complain, but we still all love to watch them and how they have been able to make superstars work together and actually play team basketball. But now I'll throw it back to you, McKellen. What's your answer to that question?
I think they're bad for basketball until somebody takes them out of it. You can't be mad at a winner until you win, until you beat Goliath.
Right.
And you know, I make this point all the time, Kelsey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo Anthony is one of my guys. But I will say this, a lot of in a league where everybody's jumping ship and making these big big blockbuster trades and these threesomes and everything like that, Carmelo Anthony was willing to stand alone in New York, even to suffer until they could win again, even if they didn't. And
yeah, that's a good point.
If he was in the 90s, he would be respected more for that, and LeBron would just be the guy that would be taking away from his being able to be solidified. Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewan, Reggie Miller, those guys not getting a championship still doesn't take away from their greatness when we think of them. Because, we can go to Karl Malone, we can go to John Stockton, all because you understand Michael Jordan. So why is it now that we are unwilling to accept a team like Golden State just being who they are? And I'm so totally hoping somebody can tell me, which nobody still hasn't been able to do, Kelsey, where was Kevin Durant really was supposed to go for the decision to be
right?
Because he would have went anywhere else. He would not be where he is. And let's be real. He was the X factor on that team. They needed him.
Right.
He went to the most unselfish team in the NBA. They are so unabashedly unselfish to the fact that a couple years ago, we were talking Splash Brothers, the light-skinned brothers making a comeback, and Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson, the comment he made the other week, I don't care about being in the spotlight no more.
Right.
He can shoot those pretty threes when they count. And he's hoisting up a trophy every time. Look how beautiful that is for them to understand what they have together.
And that is huge. That's huge. I mean, I think people don't understand how hard it is to do, because I think, remember when the whole Anthony Davis Boogie Cousins trade went down, Mikel, and everyone was so excited, like, oh, the New Orleans Pelicans all is good and saved in the West and everything's going to be great. But it took them a while to figure it out. Not that they have the same amount of superstars, but I think, and then you mentioned it with Carmelo. I mean, everyone can talk about everything with that, right? You send Victor Oladipo, you send him out, then you bring in, I mean, Carmelo Anthony, you can talk about his greatness forever. You bring in Paul George, but it's just not the same jam. You know, and again, I think you said it, that unselfish basketball. Nobody thought the Warriors and Steve Kerr could do it. They're like, no way, it's not going to work. But as you said, Kevin Durant, I hate too, Mikel, when he gets criticized and stuff like that. I mean, you cannot blame the man for wanting a ring. And Kevin Durant is still able to put up these big numbers, but still be able to assist and help others. And like you said, play the unselfish basketball. That is something truly special. And I'm not mad at him. As much as we here, Mikel and the DMV, would love to see Kevin Durant donning a Washington Wizards uniform, I don't think it's happening. Unless he's on, like, towards the end of his career, I could see him maybe ending right here. But Kevin Durant wants to play competitive basketball. He wants to continue to win and stay in that spotlight. So I cannot blame him. But as you said, if you're tired of the Warriors, then knock him off. If you're tired of the Patriots, same thing, knock them off. Any sport, if there is a dynasty and you are tired of seeing them winning, then guess what? Since hockey season is right now, that's why I love the story of the Las Vegas Knights hockey team. They were a team that just started. All the odds were counted against them, and now they're going to be playing our Washington Capitals in the Stanley Cup Finals. So don't even give me that, oh, you need superstars to beat them and stuff like that. Sometimes it just takes a great coach and a great team, a solid team. But I think that's what we're seeing with the Celtics. They lost their superstars, and they're still finding a way to play consistent basketball, Mikel. So, yeah, I'm tired of people complaining about the Warriors not come out. We do, but I would like to see teams change in the finals because after a while, I think, you know, even for media and even for people watching, you don't want the same teams in it, even if it's a one-team change. But the Warriors, I just don't think the Rockets have enough in them, Mikel. But I will say this. I don't know if you saw the numbers, Mikel. They were saying this year's Game 5 that just happened between the Celtics and the Cavs is up like 30% viewership from last year. And I found that pretty surprising. I mean, do you think the NBA playoffs has overall gotten better as a brand? Like, do you think this Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals has been good for basketball? Do you think we're seeing good quality basketball? Or do you think some of these blowout wins are lopsided wins, you know, are they not good for basketball?
I think that there's a lot of parallels that make for a lot of different conversations and a lot of different scenes in a soap opera. You have the LeBron Cleveland soap opera. Then you turn around and then you got the new guys coming in, but are they new guys in Boston? Then you got the Houston Rockets. Can they ever get over the hump? And you got the whole Chris Paul parallel where he hasn't made it to the East Western Conference. And then you turn around and you talk about Golden State and the dynasty that they are, which they really aren't a dynasty because it's not like they've won back to back to back to back. But at the same, and then you, there's a lot of fixtures that you can appoint to that make for a very controversial, because let's be real, if LeBron loses to Boston, it's about to blow up.
Oh, yeah. So and everybody's already asking, where is he going next? Everyone's asking, where is he going next already? I mean, so you already know that the media is going to go crazy if it happens. And then everyone, his haters are going to try to hop on that and say how he lost to a Boston Celtics team without Kyrie Irving. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be wild.
I mean, but say on LeBron, where do you think is his next move, Mikel?
Wherever he goes, Cleveland and the city of Cleveland just need to shut up because he's done what he's came to do. He does not owe
burning jerseys.
They don't owe him anything. I don't know where the next decision is going to be, but they don't owe him anything. He doesn't owe them anything.
That's all sad because, you know, but the thing is, I think we both know they are going to go crazy in Cleveland. And staying on craziness in basketball, Mikel, I want to go to my biggest headlines in sports because the news broke that Dwayne Casey was fired as the Toronto Raptors head coach. I mean, Mikel, when you first heard this news, did you see it even coming? And was it a surprise? I mean, what were your immediate thoughts?
Say that one more time.
When Dwayne Casey got fired as the Toronto Raptors head coach. When you first heard that news, just tell me your initial thoughts.
What the hell?
You sound like most people on social media.
The most winningest coach in Toronto's history. Took them to the best record in the East, a record they haven't had in a long time. I think instead of blaming the coach, it was time to combust the team a little bit. You don't have to take away. I mean, obviously, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry are somewhat the people that you want to keep. But you got to talk about everybody else. Serge Ibaka has not been who he used to be in Oklahoma City. There's a lot of tangibles that need to propel this team. And if you thought having home court was going to make you beat LeBron and them, you got there for nothing. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what they think they're going to do without him. Because they got a long time going when it comes to the lottery of coaches.
Right. And as you said, I mean, this man has done something that they haven't seen for that franchise. As you said, I mean, record with 59 regular season victories and had the number one seed in the East, which is not easy to do. It was very competitive this season. I mean, it was crazy when I heard it. I mean, the Raptors, their record improved in 6 of the 7 seasons under Casey. Like, what is going on? I mean, Coach of the Year stuff. I mean, this guy is, I thought he was truly at the helm. He had some players under him. And I just thought it was crazy. I mean, yes, they did lose to Cleveland, and I know some people will be like, oh, that was reason to get fired. I mean, no, but the way they lost, too, wasn't good at all, obviously. But at the same time, if you look at this man's record, you cannot tell me that he deserved to get fired because he was doing something special in Toronto, and I think he's another person that just needed another right piece like the Washington Wizards to really do something special. But I thought it was crazy. It was blasphemy. It was crazy, and I think the Toronto Raptors are going to pay for it. And honestly, I hope he ends up at a team and just shows them what they lost. Great coach overall. Now, Mikal, before I let you go, we have to give some love to the WNBA because you, as well as me, are a big fan of the WNBA. We give the WNBA love, and I say that to say, sometimes, Mikal, I hate when people say, oh, you're supposed to be a fan of the WNBA because you're a woman. No. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I think you give respect to men's basketball like you do women's basketball. And I say that to say the WNBA season just kicked off. Have you had a chance to watch any games, Mikal?
I have not. And the unfortunate matter is I'm still getting moving and getting myself together, but I have not been able to watch any games. But I'm going to take great pride in it this year because you got to take respect. And if you've been watching the player, the Chicago Tribune, and these statements these women have been coming out and making, and, you know, Maya Moore with the historic, iconic Michael Jordan wingspan picture and what that's meant to women. They're coming in this year a little bit different. And you can talk about these guys all you want, but if you want some real fundamental basketball, you turn on the WNBA.
Better. That's what, like you said, fundamental team basketball that they're playing. And I don't think it's a great game. It's a great game. And then you have players doing amazing things. Diana Taurasi of the Phoenix Mercury just became the first WNBA player ever to reach 1,000 career three-pointers. And if you haven't seen Diana Taurasi play, you are truly missing out on greatness. On Sunday, the WNBA had their home opener, had the season opener, I should say, between the Minnesota Lynx and the Los Angeles Sparks. And it was actually watched by 297,000 viewers, which was up 38% over last year. Mikal, that made me so happy to hear because obviously it shows more people are coming into the game. But as you said, I mean, the WNBA, they are playing some great team basketball, and I hope people continue to support them. Now, I want to ask you a quick question, though. So Tamara Young, she's a WNBA player. Some people might know her from Love & Hip Hop because she also dates Mimi. But I bring this up to say she put a tweet out that got a lot of traction on social media. She said, people are always surprised when college standouts get cut from a WNBA roster. The WNBA is one of the hardest jobs in the world to get and keep. 144 players only from around the world. So only 144 spots, and they consider players from around the world. Do you agree or disagree with her statement that she did?
I think it's in between. You can either go both sides.
Tell
because
me why.
You take it for what it is. If she's in the league, she's only talking from her perspective of being in it. But when you're talking about other women trying to get in, that's a whole other thing when you're knocking down the door, you know?
Right. And you can make, and also, I think for women, it's different, right? When you're a woman and after you finish your college career, if you're playing basketball, you really have to look at the numbers. Because for women's sports get more respect overseas, in my opinion, and I think you can go see this. And they can get paid good money overseas, where the WNBA, unfortunately, sometimes it's not the same amount because we're still trying to grow the game here, even though it has made huge, tremendous strides. But her tracks, her, you know, comment, it has some positive and negative reactions. But I get what she's saying, right? Like, you don't have as many teams as the NBA. It's fewer spots to get in, and then you have a lot of good talent coming from the WNBA. I mean, we can go back to the NCAA tournament and all this good woman talent. You have the Notre Dame team that just won. You have UConn, which always has WNBA players. But I do like the fact that she put it out there because I don't think enough people realize the work that these ladies put in, just like the men, to get to that next level. But, Mikal, it was such a blast having you. I liked our little women's sports show showing all the guys that us women know a lot about sports, too. So it was a blast to have you on.
Holla at me. Elena Deladon said that the only guys in the NBA respect the WNBA. The only people that don't respect the WNBA is high school has been. Listen, fellas,
that
whole position applies to us. That you wanted to talk sports, but you ain't doing this career. Holla at me.
I have to drop the mic after that one because I don't think there's much else I can add. Great way to end. Mikal, again, thank you so much for joining me. And also, Mikal, I don't think I got to do enough in your background, but Mikal is also, like me, from the East Coast, from Baltimore, and a Morgan State University graduate. Is there anything else I'm missing about your background, Mikal? Tell us a little bit about how you got into sports.
Oh, man, I, you know, used to watch the NBA on NBC when I was 9.
I know you guys know the jingle. Oh, my gosh, yes.
And big Bulls fan back important. In the day. I don't know who didn't. Nobody didn't like Michael Jordan. But, you know, I always knew I wanted to be around sports. Knew I didn't want to play it, but my dad was really instrumental in bringing me into it.
Yeah.
Watching TV, and the Marvin Shah's on TV, and the camera goes to Hannah Storm. And my life was set ever since.
Wow. And there you go. There you have it. And Mikel and I met. Me and Mikel both met as young sports reporters, getting our feet wet in the industry and just have continued to grow and blossom. I'm very proud of you. I think we both are trying to continue to make strides and just show there's room for everyone at the table. But definitely look out for her. She's making big strides. We just found out we'll both be at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention. So shout out to everyone who will be there in Detroit to join us in August. And that is a wrap for this edition of Listen In with KNN. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the KNN bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matters. So until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.